And welcome in After Hours, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero producing the operations. No, it is not character concerns. It is After Hours leading up to Josh Vernier taking things at 7:30, I do believe. Great pitching matchup for the Royals and the Giants out in the Bay Area. Maybe you'll have an hour and 49-minute game tonight again, Chris.
I mean, I'd be cool with that, considering it's going to be a long-ass night anyway. Yeah.
Another round of storms coming through at some point. Hopefully you made it through okay today and aren't going through high water.
Oh, yeah. It was a mess out there earlier. Whenever that storm hits, if you're out there driving, be careful, because it was a mess getting up here after I got off my day job.
Yeah, a lot going through. So you have the Royals tonight in San Francisco. What'd you think of the series this weekend? Just watch it from the outside, because you're born and raised in Kansas City, same as me. I always hate seeing the Cardinals come over here. A little bit disappointed, two out of three were St. Louis's way and not Kansas City's way.
I mean, you like to – obviously, you know, Royals-Cardinals rivalry is one of the biggest ones out there for – it might be the biggest one for the Royals. But, I mean, it sucks losing that series, not hitting that well basically the entire series. You haven't really hit well for a while now. You'd like to see your star players come through and actually start hitting well. And so, like, I think the biggest news this past weekend with Jack Caglione getting called up to AAA, I think that kind of gives a lot of people a little hope, because right now you don't have a lot of people in your lineup that are hitting the way that they should be, especially a lot of the guys that you were counting on last year to be that were some of your best hitters. So, yeah, it's a little disappointing to see them kind of struggle at the plate the way they are, considering how good their pitching has been the entire year.
Oh, it's been fantastic. Even when you have Cole Reagans go down, even when you have Seth Lugo go down, right? You have Noah Cameron come up here, and he's been pitching crazy good in his last two starts for the Royals. I just hate this pitching window to be lost. The pitching has been so good, and it is a rarity that you have this kind of good pitching in Kansas City. You had two of the top four Cy Young winners last year, but it feels like they're wasting it. And I'm a big fan of the windows in pro sports. And we'll get to that in some comparisons with the NFL as well with baseball. But pitching-wise, the Royals are number two ERA in all of baseball when you combine everything. Starters, relievers, everything. Number two, number one in the American League, two in baseball. Starters, number three, just from the starters pitching, three in baseball, number two in the American League. Relievers, number six in all of baseball, number four in the American League. So you say all this, Chris, and yet they still have the third best record in the American League. And runs, 27th. The only teams behind you are the White Sox and the Pirates and the Rockies, a club you don't want to be with. But I just hate to see this window, because you know damn well you got to cash in on that window. And I'll bring up the 49ers here in a second to compare them kind of to where the Royals are. But when the window's open, you got to kick it in, man.
Yeah, but I mean, we're not even 2 months into the season. So, like, at this point, I'm not down on the team right now. It is disappointing that we haven't seen the offense get going yet, other than a few spot series and a few runs here and there where their offense kind of looks like the way they should. But the thing is I would much rather they be in a position right now. They'd be in a position where, like, they're relying on their pitching and hoping their offense comes through. I'd rather be in that way than the opposite, where your hitting's great and your pitching's terrible.
100%, because we've seen the Royals many years where the hitting's, like, on fire and you know, keeping things going.
Yeah, and they can't pitch.
And all of a sudden, for a while, the bats will go cold and they'll pitch great for a while.
Right, and I think you can rely on your pitching more than you can rely on hitting in today's baseball anyways, with the way that run production has been going down over the decades or so. So, I'm a little optimistic about it, even though, yeah, it kind of sucks that you're relying on a lineup that hasn't been very reliable, and you don't have a lot of guys in your lineup right now that you look at and you're like, okay, I know I'm going to get production from him. Like, there's
probably, I see a lot of, you can pitch around Bobby Witt Jr. because Bobby Witt Jr., yeah, you can pitch around him. You need more than one or two guys. And Danny Matthews had some really good comments with Carrington earlier. I'll bring those up later on in the show. But I just hate when the window closes. And sports teams have windows. It's amazing what the Chiefs have done. It's amazing winning nine straight divisions. It's amazing that Patrick Mahomes won the division every year as a starter, and he's almost 30 years old. This stretch went back to Alex Smith being a starter. 11's the record at the Patriot Zone, and the Chiefs can be one away from that if they win the division this year. But windows close in football, and you got to keep it going, man. And what the Chiefs are doing is unbelievable. The fact they've kept the streak going and had to rebuild their roster to some extent, get 7th-round picks like a couple years ago with Nazi Johnson and Pacheco, and we're doing damage for the Chiefs and Jalen Watson in the 7th round. You got to rely on stuff like that. And I know the 49ers made news here because they paid Brock Purdy. You know, and all the Niners fans are excited. They're staying home, paying Kittle, Fred Warner now today. So they're keeping some of those guys together. But the bottom line is they didn't win when they weren't paying their quarterback. And that was the big window for them. Yeah, congratulations. They gave Brock Purdy a nice contract. That's great. But they didn't win because they got the Super Bowl. No question, they got there, but they didn't cash it in. And they weren't paying their quarterback, so they could afford to pay everybody else. Well, the Debos of the world go away. And then all of a sudden, you can't pay everybody because now you're paying your quarterback. And now you got to pay other people. So you can't let that window close. I've seen so many windows close quickly. The Buccaneers, once they beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, that window closed quick on that team. When Stafford and the Rams won, with Aaron Donald in company, they didn't keep it up. Yeah, they came back, and they're looking better now, and they made the playoffs last year, definitely make a run this year as well. But they didn't keep that window going. And we've seen the Dolphins all of a sudden start looking good when they bring in Tyreek Hill, and that offense was looking good and all that speed they had. But then they go to the playoffs 2 years in a row and lose. And all of a sudden, you're scratching your head going, how good is this team now? Because that window closed. Trevor Lawrence won a playoff game with the Jags. And Doug Peterson looked like he was doing great. And then all of a sudden, that window closes fast. So I'm looking at this pitching. And yes, I'm patient. I like this team too. And I like watching them play. I watch every single Royals game there is, to be honest with you. I just don't want to see them waste this opportunity, Chris. That's why I'm glad they're moving Jack up. And I know that's been a big conversation. Is it too early to bring him up or not? If he's mentally ready, you do it. Every guy is different, man.
Yeah, I don't.
Every guy's different.
I think you let him earn his spot. I don't think you just call him up just to call him up. Like,
no, you don't. But if he tears up AAA like he did,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you let him earn it.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Is like,
yeah, you don't do it right now.
Man, you had people out here talking about calling him up before the season. And I'm like, let him earn his spot first.
Let him earn it. Let him go. If he goes to AAA and dominates,
yeah.
Then you bring him up.
If he goes to AAA,
oh, he already is.
And he kills it in Omaha. And we're talking about him as one of the best hitters over like a month and a half stretch in Omaha. Okay, let's entertain bringing him up after like the All-Star break or something. Like I'm cool with that, but I don't want to rush him. I like that, and there's not a solution down in the minors right now.
You don't want a Jackson Holliday situation. And yeah. I will say this: they brought him up way too early for Baltimore last year, and then went back down to the minors, then came back up. But he was a high school kid. Now, the one thing with Jack is, and I asked Vern this question not too long ago when I was filling in for Cody and Gold like a week ago, and Vern came on, and he made a very good comparison. The SEC is like playing A-ball. I mean, when you look at the stadiums, the crowd sizes, the amount of talent they have there, so it's almost like he had a full couple seasons in A-ball because the SEC is technically like that because it's a college kid, and some guys are mentally tough. To where things don't bother him. The moment doesn't get too big. And he appears to be that kind of guy. And again, you have to handle everything with kid gloves when it comes to players. Aren't they ready to jump to the major leagues or not? Are they mentally tough or not? He is. I just don't want him to be the savior. I don't want everybody looking, oh, Jack's up here, man. Here comes a bunch of home
the
runs.
The thing is there's going to be people that think of him as the savior, though.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's just going to be.
That's the problem.
And you know what? That's a natural part of the sport. A lot of these young guys get brought up, and especially when they get that big attention like that and they're a highly touted prospect, they are treated like that.
He's not going to be able to avoid that.
Yeah, but that's how Billy Butler and Alex Gordon got treated when they got called up to the major leagues. I remember watching Alex's first game in 07. He was going up against Daisuke Matsuzaka, and he was clearly not ready to hit major leagues.
Bases are loaded.
Pitching.
Remember the first game he played at the very end of the game?
He was clearly not ready to be a major leaguer at that point, and eventually got sent back down. This is just going to be a natural thing that's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of people that place a lot of faith in him because of what we are hearing from the people who are checking out his minor league stats and watching the highlights from his time down in Arkansas.
And there's not as many free agent bats out there at this point this year. It's just not when you have that extra wild card team now.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of thinks they're in it. There's only a couple teams you can say, there's no way in hell they're going to make it, like the White Sox, like the Rockies, things like that. But there's a lot of teams to look at, you know, four or five games back, like, hey, we can go on some kind of a run and make it. Let's not let the fan base give up. Let's make a run and go. But there's not a lot of talent out there. But clearly, Jack is one of those guys that can make a difference. Everybody sees Twitter and everything else and sees the home runs and the moonshots he hits and everything else. But it's not going to be the savior. Because coming into this lineup, I mean, if Perez doesn't start batting better and things like that, there's going to be a lot of more expectations on him than he would have anyway, and he's not going to get all the pitches he wants to see when he first comes up to Major League Baseball. But here's the thing, and I know what you're saying, be patient. And we all as we can is be patient. But we're getting close to June. Like, June 1st is the end-all, be-all, man. To me, you kind of are what you are. When you're getting close and knocking on that door of June, which we're in mid-May right now, we're past mid-May now, we're in, what, the 20th? Or 19th, 19th of May.
19th.
Yeah. So we're getting close, man. We're a week away from Memorial Day. We're getting close. And in my opinion, you don't change after June. Like, you are what you are.
We see teams do it all the time. What are you talking about? Like, we literally see teams start off cold.
No, they always say wait till June. Yeah, always say wait till June. And they say that for a reason.
Teams do that all the time. We have literally seen teams. We saw the Royals change when they went to the World Series in 2014 because they struggled all year to score runs. And then they didn't when they got to the playoffs because all of a sudden that pressure to make the playoffs was gone. And you saw guys like Moose and Haas
start to hit for power. You kind of are what you are.
But we literally see teams do well at the start of the season and completely fall off. So that's not necessarily true. There's plenty of times where
you got to show some glimpses. You can't be sitting the 27th
and
runs.
But that's the thing, though. And like I said, I do think the offense is definitely something that we should monitor.
I mean, if they're 15th or 20th and runs, something like that, I could buy more into what you're saying.
Like I'm saying, we should definitely monitor the situation. But I'm not freaking out about it right now just because.
I'm not, because their record. Their record still says they're a damn good
team. The record's really good. So all you need is like a one or two guys in this line, especially towards the top of the lineup, to start to be more consistent at the plate. And if you get that, I think you're in a really good position considering the fact
you got to get some production for the bottom of the lineup, too.
No, look, there's a lot of the bottom of the lineup.
I'll take Denny Matthews' voice because Denny said the bottom of the lineup, so I'll take his voice over anybody.
There's a lot of bottom of the lineups on a lot of teams that aren't very good.
I'll take Denny's opinion on this more than anybody.
That's cool. That doesn't mean he bats 1,000 when he says something like that.
He's seen every damn game.
There's a lot of teams out there whose bottom of the lineups are not very good. What you need is those top of the order guys, those top five guys, they're the ones that need to produce.
Yeah, well, Indy is getting on base, so he's doing that. But we like to see more production.
Yeah, you
like
want to see.
Wise.
You want to see. Yeah, you want to see.
Sal Perez hadn't had a home run since April 13th.
Yeah, so I'm saying Sal has not been very good at the plate. Sal's got to step up because that's a guy who's very important to this team's production.
I think Vinny's very important to this team. They're the only team in baseball with three guys over 70
Vinny
RBIs. The first team with over 80, three with over 80, first team with three over 90. And they would have been the only team in the Major League Baseball three over 100, but Vinny got hurt right at 97.
Right, and the thing is. Their offense was a lot better when Vinny was healthy last year. Then as soon as he gets hurt, and even when he came back, he was not the same guy in the playoffs, and their offense really struggled, you know, especially in that Yankee series.
Text line says, let's not kid ourselves. Jack is Bubba Starling 2.0. That is not fair. That is not fair whatsoever.
Yeah, let's not go out and prognosticate like that. Because, like, Bubba stayed in the minors forever.
And the one thing with Bubba is
he was in the minors forever.
Here's the one thing about Bubba. I've never seen a high school football player as good as Bubba except for Darren Sproles. I mean, he was unbelievable. But he was already a made guy in this town. He was a known guy in this town. And there was really no choice. But it was weird when he's on the clock there. The Royals were on the clock. You knew they were going to grab him. Because if he went somewhere else and starred, be like, man, this guy was in your backyard. You didn't grab him. I mean, they already got that crap with Albert Pujols.
It was just because of Albert Pujols. If Albert Pujols hadn't been such a great player coming from the Kansas City area, I don't think they would have felt the pressure to go out and get Bubba Starling.
But don't expect Jack to fix the problem, but I do think he can help, and hopefully he tears things up at AAA because I'd like to see him here eventually.
Don't expect him to get called up to the main roster this year. It might take him the rest of this season in AAA to acclimate to that level of pitching.
It's could, not or a, he goes up there and destroys things.
Yeah,
we don't know.
He absolutely might, but he might not as well. I mean, there was a point early in the season when he was down there in Arkansas, he was not hitting well, and then he got hot, and then obviously now he's been called up. So yeah, let's just let him go out there and earn his keep, and then, you know, if he hits well enough, then he'll make his way to the
I'm excited
roster.
About help on the horizon, like Kyle Wright coming up to the Royals team. You know, it's down in the minors now, who led major leagues in a couple years ago in wins when he was with the Atlanta Braves. Yeah, it sucks that Lugo and Riggins are down. Hopefully it's a very short stint because they do need them. And I know Noah Cameron's pitched well in the two starts that he's had. That's fine. That's great. But you need Lugo and Riggins. You've got to have those guys back. Yeah. You definitely have to have them back to keep this thing going. But right now, number two in all of baseball in ERA, and you hate to see it get wasted. Although they're keeping their head above water. And let's not forget, this team did win 16 of 18. And they did it with what they have in the offense.
Like I said, the thing is you've got a lot of guys who are underperforming. So that's the reason why I'm not out here worrying about this right now. I'm going to let these guys kind of figure it out at the plate. We've seen this before, and we've seen them figure it out at the plate.
So. They have 26 wins. The Yankees have 27. The Yankees are in first place in the American League East with 27 wins.
Right. Like I said,
the Royals sitting there with 26. So it's not the end of the world, but you definitely want to see them starting producing a lot more, and that's including Perez.
Yeah, you'd like to see them do that. Again, it's May.
We're getting close to June. Getting close to June.
Yeah, and then when you get to June, it's going to be four more months left in the season.
Oh, there is, but I think June 1st is a good indicator of who you are and what
you
are. Yeah,
and I think what we've seen from them is an indicator that they're a contender. Even if their offense isn't great.
At this point, they are.
That's what I'm saying. It's like they're a contender right now, and they'll have 4 months to try to figure their offense out.
At this point, they're 100%, because the 26 wins, they would be tied with Seattle for the number one record in the West. They'd be right behind the New York Yankees in the AL East. And unfortunately, they're in the Central where the Tigers sitting there with 31 wins. Tigers are playing crazy. Minnesota, they're on a hell of a run. They've won 9 of the last 10 games, 12 out of 14. Minnesota's been on a run. But I'll say this about the Twins. Yes, they're playing good baseball right now, but the Twins are one of these teams that I can see them going on a 12-game winning streak like we've seen. I can see them going on a 12-game losing streak as well. The Twins are streaky like that. Like last year, they went 7-game winning streak, then 7-game losing streak. That's what they are. They're inconsistent as far as baseball is concerned. Coming up next, though, there's some oddities about this NFL schedule we'll get into. Chris and I haven't had a chance to hash that out, but there's some interesting things, and I keep seeing people look at the strengths of schedule and is it the toughest or not. It doesn't matter. I'll tell you why next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Chris Sunocero. Take you up to Josh Verdner to 7:30. Royals and Giants tonight. A good pitching matchup as well. Bubic on the mound for the Royals. And you know what? I'm actually looking forward to this game. I think the pitching matchup is really good, Chris, and say it's an hour and 49-minute game. I don't think so, but Robbie Ray and Chris Bubic are very good. Robbie Ray 6-0.
Yeah, and Bubic has been mowing him down this year.
Yeah, Bubic's ERA is incredible. Yeah,
and not only that, he's got a lot of strikeouts on the season. So, yeah, no. This,
he's got four 56 Ks, and Robbie Ray has 55.
Yeah, so he's looking pretty nice right now in his first 9 starts on the year.
Jonathan India is back in the lineup tonight, so that's good for the Royals. Since he got spiked against the Cardinals, I was ready for them to retaliate. I know they were close games, but, man, I wanted to see it.
Yeah, probably not a good idea right now when you've already got a lot of people missing.
That close of games, yeah, you got to be careful with it, but, man, I wanted to see it. I've never seen Vern so fired up, though, man. He was fired up about that, man. He was fired up about the India deal. I was, too. I was surprised they kind of let things calm down, and they did, but it was a hit that getting cleated where he's out the next game. Yeah, it's not a clean hit at all, but the Royals didn't retaliate. I thought they would have in that situation, but they didn't do it. The NFL schedule, Chris, you and I did a lot of stuff for the NFL draft on the character concerns. We were busy doing that, but the schedule release that came out, and right now everybody's going through who's got the toughest. I was watching NFL Network the other morning, and you know, Kyle Brandt and company. Kyle Brandt actually said it well. He's like, hey, man, you don't know who's going to be good. You don't know who's going to be bad. Like, to sit there and look at schedules and go, oh, man, it's a tough schedule. It's an easy schedule. We just don't know. At least, this is from Judy Batista from NFL Network. But check this out. At least one team has won its division the season after missing the playoffs entirely in 53 of the 55 seasons since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970. Think about that. Missed the playoffs entirely. 53 out of 55 years, they come back and won the division. Only 2024 and 1976 had division winners that were all in the postseason the prior campaign. At least one team has gone from worst to first, winning the division the season after finishing last or tied for last in 20 of the last 23 years. No team did it last year or in 2019. But the track record is, even if you finish last, the NFL has a way to make the schedule, and I get it. You mostly play everybody that everybody else is playing, but where you're playing them. You play them at home, you play them on the road. You play in teams in the bottom of the division, or you play in teams from the top of the division in kind of your crossover games that you have where you have to play the division winners. Why you have the Chiefs to play Buffalo all the time. But it is so tough, Chris. Just for fun, I'll do it. But I don't look at schedules and say, man, this is easier, this is hard. Because I know a team may look bad and turn around and be good. People thought the Jaguars were going to be good and on a roll. Once they won the division and win a playoff game against the Chargers, then all of a sudden they suck again and Doug Peterson's fired. It was that quick.
I think you make a good point. A lot of people don't understand that, like, there are multiple teams every year that are predicted to go to the playoffs that have a letdown because...
Well, the Bengals, everybody thought that was going to make the playoffs. They didn't even make the playoffs.
And they started the season off really terribly because very inconsistent play in a terrible defense. And this is just really how the game goes. Is like a lot of times there's a lot of things you can't account for early in the season. There's injuries with players that we don't even know exist because those players aren't disclosing that information, or they're not disclosing the severity of that information.
When a quarterback gets hurt, it changes everything.
Yeah, and then quarterbacks get hurt, or sometimes you'll see like a brand new coach on a team that we don't really think is that good, or a brand new player, like saw last year with Sam Darnold and the Vikings. You know, a lot of people were surprised at how good Darnold was because, our lasting impression of Darnold was him seeing ghosts in New York and him being terrible for him only being good for like a month in Carolina and then being terrible the rest of the way. So
it having a good year, except for the end for the Vikings. But he got paid because quarterbacks get paid.
But we also knew that like Sam Darnold wasn't going to be a great player the entire year for the Vikings. But, like, still, like, this is one of those sports where consistency is really hard to come by year over year.
It is. That's why, 53 of the previous 55 seasons since the merger, a team did miss the playoffs entirely, won its division. That is insanity. That is insanity. That means when you look at a team, go, they finished last. Well, it doesn't mean they're going to finish last this year.
Yeah, and there's a ton of roster attrition as well from top to bottom. There's a lot of teams that do really well one year, and then next thing you know, a bunch of players from that team will leave in free agency or get traded or whatever.
Or the salary cap hits them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, and they'll leave in free agency, and those teams aren't going to keep all those guys because they can't afford all of them. And so you end up in a situation where maybe some key guys that helped you win along the way, they're playing elsewhere the next season. And that's the reason why, you see teams go worst to first all the time in the sport. And then vice versa, because that roster attrition is so prevalent every single year. I just think that right now, trying to make predictions, a little tough. I mean, it's probably smarter to wait until training camp because there's going to be a training camp ACL tear or
there's
two.
There's
going to
be that. Quarterback's going to go down and totally change the complexion of the team. It's just what happens. It's just the NFL. It's just what happens. And that's why the Chiefs being on this run is incredible that they've been able to withstand all this stuff.
And there's still
There's
still a lot of good free agent names out there that can help a team by getting signed. There's still a lot
Nick
of guys.
Nick Chubb sitting there.
He's still out there. And I don't know
Amari
if he's...
Cooper.
Yeah, Amari Cooper's still out there. There's talk that he might get re-signed by Dallas, get brought back by the Cowboys.
I think these are camp guys that are going to be signed when camp starts and you have injuries.
Or maybe it might be like a June, once we start getting to like...
OTAs.
Yeah, once we start getting towards the end of OTAs and we start getting after mandatory, then you're going to start seeing teams like, okay, we're deficient in this area. Let's go sign this veteran that's sitting out there and get him. Hopefully he can get back into football shape before camp. Like June, I think, is really when we're going to start to see some of these veteran names start coming off the free agent list.
Yeah, he probably will. I did see this earlier. This is funny. This is a character from St. Louis. The St. Louis Sports Hub is where this was. And they were talking about the Chiefs' schedule and how the Chiefs just dominated St. Louis. This is funny. But this is coming from St. Louis Radio, the Sports Hub.
Brooke, you know what? One thing I hate?
What?
I hate the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs are just shoved down St. Louis's throat because they want this market so badly. Randy. And so they make it so that all of their games are on TV in St. Louis. It's terrible. Randy. I hate it. Yes.
That's
I hate
people
it.
People do.
So, I mean, I get the schedule yesterday. So late last night. You know, they've got eight games, the Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs. They have eight standalone games, seven in primetime, one on Thanksgiving, that apparently are being directed only to St. Louis. Eight of them.
Apparently.
Plus four more. They're playing the Broncos, the Ravens, the Bills, and the Eagles. They're all playing them at 3:25 in the afternoon. And it's only apparently going to like 5% of the country because they're trying to shove the
Chiefs
down our throat.
That's not true. That's not true.
Well, yeah, you didn't know that.
12 of their 16 games that are scheduled to this.
They're trying to force you to be a Chiefs fan. Whether you want to or not, yeah. You have to be a Chiefs fan if you live here in St. Louis. It's Missouri's team, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I'm really mad that I don't know why they do this to us. It would be different if the Chiefs were any good.
They are.
And they got any national TV games. But apparently we're only getting like Sunday night football, Monday night football, Thursday night football, Thanksgiving football. We only get those here in St. Louis. The rest of the country is not having the Chiefs shoved down their throat.
It was so much nonsense there and not true. The Chiefs and Eagles aren't going to be on 5% of the country. It's going to be a national game. People are going to watch that. Chiefs and Bills, people are going to watch that. It's not just going to be in St. Louis. And as far as Kansas City dominating St. Louis market, that's what happens when you lose two franchises. That's what happens. Kansas City took advantage of St. Louis. Hey, they're out there. Let's take advantage. The number two market for season tickets outside of the Kansas City area, Kansas City's number one, clearly. The number two market outside of Kansas City for season tickets is St. Louis. Kansas City even has games on the radio on KMOX in St. Louis. And you know what? There's a ton of Chiefs fans over in St. Louis. Just deal with that. And as far as them not being good, they're in the Super Bowl every damn year, the AFC title game. And 5%, and you're getting games that are 5% of the country? Dude, the whole country is going to get the Chiefs and Eagles game. It's not just the St. Louis thing. But anyway, that cracked me up. This is what happens when you lose your teams and you're stuck with the UFL.
I mean, look, if you didn't want to watch Chiefs games, you should have built the stadium for the Cardinals back in 88.
You had your chance, man. You had your chance for the Cardinals. Then you lose the Rams,
too. And then you got another team, and then you still didn't want to support them the way – I mean, I know a ton of St. Louis fans. I know a ton of people from St. Louis that were not Rams fans. Like, most of them rooted for teams aside from the Rams because the Rams were introduced so late into their lives. It was like, yeah, we're not really fans of that.
They had to find somebody else in the meantime. But Kansas City, yeah, St. Louis market was there. And you know what? They've tried to push the Blues and stuff in Kansas City. They play the preseason here a lot, and they're doing this thing called the Sports Matrix where they have Blues games on over-the-air channels in Kansas City. There's a couple of them, like three or four a year. And they did that with the Royals and Cardinals this week, too. Now, it wasn't just on FanDuel Sports Network. It was also on over-the-air on KSMO.
Also, it's like, first and foremost, that's a regional thing. Like, whenever we have afternoon games on like CBS here that aren't the Chiefs and aren't like a bigger matchup there, it's usually like the Broncos or the Raiders or the Chargers that are being shown here because of the region here. So, of course, you're going to be watching the Chiefs games because you're 4 hours away from Kansas City.
And newsflash, whether you like them or hate them, you want to watch them. Again, in 2023.
And also, they're the biggest ratings draw in the NFL.
Of course they are. 93 of the top 100 television programs on TV was the NFL. 15 of that was the Kansas City Chiefs. There's a reason why they're on national TV all the time. It's because they're a draw. And I knew it when I saw that schedule come out when Dallas Cowboys were sitting there. I was like, oh, man, this is earmarked for Thanksgiving. This is earmarked for Thanksgiving. Because, yes, it was going to get ratings anyway, being in Dallas, staying alone on Thanksgiving. You know, people are going to watch that. They watch the Lions play. And they're good now. But even when they were bad, it was worth watching because Barry Sanders playing or whatever. But people still watch it because it's the only thing on. Well, you knew the Chiefs and Cowboys are going to set ratings record with that thing. But people want to see them. And whether you want to see them win, which they do in Kansas City, or lose, which pretty much everywhere else in the country. The, quote, villains, you're going to want to watch them. But don't give me the Eagles and Bills crap. People want to watch those games. So I don't care if you live in St. Louis or wherever. It's not just going to your market. It's going all over the country. So don't worry about that. Coming up next, Denny Matthews, the voice of the Royals, the Hall of Famer Denny Matthews, joins Carrington Harrison each and every Monday. And he lets you know if he's concerned about Salvador Perez or not.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Chris Sinocero. Done your mock for next year yet, Chris? I guess we'll have to start doing that soon.
Oh, I'm not doing any mocks right now.
Talk about the rookies in camp first.
Yeah, I don't give a damn about any mocks that I see right now.
Yeah, it's pretty pointless right now. Yeah. And you and I love mocks.
Yeah, and you had a lot of people out here talking about Arch Manning being the top quarterback in next year's draft, and he hasn't even started a full season. Yeah, I'm good.
So the NFL is having their spring meetings this week, which kind of sucks. I was kind of hoping this would be done. They're doing it Tuesday and Wednesday, where they're going to vote on tush push and then reseeding playoff teams. I don't know if you've seen the latest. And then also they're going to talk about whether or not to allow the NFL players to play in the Olympics in the flag football.
They just adjusted the language.
They're going to vote
on the tush push.
Thing. They did. The Packers have submitted a revised proposal to ban the tush push, which is what they wanted to do anyway, prohibiting any pushing or pulling of the ball carrier anywhere on the field. NFL owners will discuss and likely vote on it. That's the language there, Chris, that I knew would be in there, man. That's what I've been talking about this last couple of weeks. If they ban the tush push, you may get tired of seeing Philadelphia do it. They do it extremely well. It's like that unstoppable play, and it drives you nuts. But this does affect the Chiefs. And keep in mind, the Chiefs weren't on the ban the tush push list. And you might think, well, they lose to Philadelphia in the Super Bowl.
They were on the fence about it. But
here's the thing.
Andy was on the fence about it.
But the Chiefs are known for pulling and pushing ball carriers.
Yeah, but they were
known for doing that. Like, how many times do we see Pacheco or even Hunt or anybody where Creed Humphrey or Trey Smith would get behind them and push them, whether it's in the end zone or push them for first down? The Chiefs are very good at getting out of it. Now, it's not the tush push, but I knew the language we put in there to do this to where you can't push or pull players. That does affect the Chiefs, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, though, is Andy was very much on the fence about the whole deal in the first place. We all knew that they were going to have to put that language in there for there to be any chance at it happening. The problem is not just a Chiefs thing. Every team does it.
They all do it.
And
even the Packers.
Yeah, and so it's like if you change that type of language, what's going to happen early in the season is guys naturally are going to push running backs whenever they get into, because you know what happens is these running backs, they get into the open field a little bit, and you know these DBs, a lot of them, they try to gang tackle, and what's going to happen is there's going to be a gang tackle situation, and then linemen are going to come in and try to help their guy, and it's going to be a 10-yard penalty.
100% agree.
So I don't think that this is a good – I didn't think that banning the tush push was a smart thing to do anyway.
I don't either, but this has been a rule since 2006. No one really took advantage of it. But, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of times you're watching the Chiefs, and whether it's you know close to first down or not, you see Trey Smith come behind Kareem Hunt and pushing forward.
Yeah. I mean, you see, like I said, we see
all
teams do this all the time.
You get penalized for that now.
In pretty much every single game. I mean, it hasn't passed yet. But, I like I said, I think that legislating strategy out of the game is a bad idea.
Yeah, especially since the language has changed on it. But you would be argued about. You would say, well, can we do this later on the field? And Packers say, no, not anywhere on the field. I think there were some teams that might have been on the fence with it, so to speak, as far as the tush push in itself. But when you take that out of there where your guards and center and stuff that get out in space can't push or pull a ball carrier forward, I think a lot of teams sit back and look at that. And I think that has a harder time passing with that in the rule than anything else, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because now it affects everyone.
It affects everybody.
It's not just one team that's doing it better than everyone. Yeah. Now this is something that everybody has because we're now in a league where yards after the catch and running the football are going to be much more important because teams aren't getting those big plays down the field because everyone's playing so deep with their safeties. So it really just doesn't make a lot of sense to now make it harder for the offense to gain yards.
And if you're the Baltimore Ravens and Derrick Henry's yard away from the end zone,
You're definitely
he's big enough anyway, but is he pushing from behind too? You ain't stopping him.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like for any team that has a bigger, more physical back like the Ravens do, this is a rule. This, you know, if they were to change this rule, it would actually be a pretty big detriment to them, because now in those short yardage situations where you would naturally have someone that could help your guy go and get that yardage that you need, you don't have that anymore.
Well, I've just looked at this with the Chiefs. It's like, man, well, this is what the Chiefs do. And as the language was first put out, just banning the tush push, I was like, well, what are you going to do down the field? What are you going to do like 5 yards down the field? Are you still going to allow linemen to push ball carriers? But evidently, that's in the language now. It's going to be harder to pass now they put that in there, in my opinion.
I mean, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, I certainly think, you know, you add that language to it, it certainly makes it a broader ban as opposed to just specifically this one play.
So, anyway, Tuesday and Wednesday, the owners are meeting up in Minnesota at the Vikings facility. They're going to vote on that. NFL players allowed to play in the Olympics or not. The flag football they're going to have. And then reseeding teams after the first round of the playoffs, which does minimize winning or diminishes winning your division a little bit in the NFL. But Denny Matthews, who's in the Hall of Fame, joins Carrington Harrison each and every week. And something that was pretty cool last weekend, seeing the 85 team there and the 15 team. You know, they had that little gala there Thursday night, and they're all partying together, taking pictures and everything. That was pretty cool. Like, it was cool seeing those dudes. But it's Denny on seeing those guys, because Denny, a big part of both of them.
Yeah, and it was interesting. Some of the guys from 85 were picking the brains of the 15s and vice versa. And that was interesting. And I know for a fact that some of the guys that are playing right now had their ears tuned in to some of those conversations. So, yeah, a lot of advice, a lot of knowledge, a lot of memories going back and forth, and it was pretty good theater.
And I'm pretty sure those teams would have scrapped if they seen Jonathan India get spiked at second base, but regardless, they didn't. Here was Denny Matthews about the offense not producing for the Royals. His thoughts on it.
Yeah, the lower part has not contributed much, and if you think back to last year, the Royals really had a lack of production from left field and right field. Three guys basically carried the Royals last year. And you can't win consistently with three guys, because eventually the opponent, recognizing that, they're going to work around those three guys and get their outs when the outs are available down further in the batting order. And yes, I agree with you. If you're not solid, at least from 1 to 7 or 7.5, then yeah, you're going to really struggle. Pitching and defense are great ways to win baseball games, but you still have to score a run once in a while to win. So, yeah, you get no argument for me in that regard. The Royals are working on it. I know J.J. was working on it, thinking about it every day.
Yeah, thinking about it every day. It's what Ned Yost used to say. You're going to make a decision, wait a week. So Jack Heglione could have been in that category. Hey, we're going to move him up, so they wait a week. And they move him up to AAA. Now, as far as Sal Perez, this is funny. This is Denny's response, quick response on Salvador Perez. And are you worried about him?
Not yet. But how about checking with me on June the 20th, and we'll talk again.
So there you go. June the 20th on Sal Perez. Normally, I don't care. It's Sal Perez. That's the captain. You know he's going to come around. But you know, you don't see the power. He did hit one home run back in March, and he hit a second one back on April 13th. But that's one of your dudes, man. That's one of your dudes you rely on for this team. And, yeah, it's great with the pitching right now, being number two in baseball. But you have Reagans and Lugo down. Yeah, it's great having Noah Cameron come up here and do what he did. That guy's been unbelievable for the Royals. But you know what? Having Lugo and Reagans back in that rotation, coming off the IL, it's going to be much different for these Royals.
Yeah, it definitely hurts with Salvi not hitting really well right now. So,
I'm not expecting 48 home runs
right
going here.
Yeah, but you'd like for him to hit for a better average, to hit for a little bit, even if he's like a low average, but hitting for power. That's something I think people can live with. If he was like a league average batting average, but he's hitting for more power, I think you could deal with that. But the lack of power is certainly something that the Royals should definitely be thinking at when they're kind of planning out how they're going to tackle the issue with their lineup this year.
Well, it's a good pitching matchup tonight, that's for sure. Don't forget Kyle Wright, still in the system for the Royals. He's back pitching again. He's in Double-A. Made a couple of starts down there, two starts down in Northwest Arkansas. You could possibly see him up here later with the Royals, probably in the bullpen at first, to be honest with you, but he did lead major leagues in wins a couple of years ago with Atlanta. Shelved with the injury last year. They did bring him along in the postseason, so he's along for the ride. So that is help on the way, but it's help with pitching, which they don't really need right now. We'll take a timeout. We come back. I'm curious, do you guys like these short games we're seeing in Major League Baseball? The Royals only played for 1 hour and 49 minutes the other day. Do you like that or not? Hey, welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. By the way, Ira Myrov tweets out this, that as far as that tush push, says many prominent figures around the league, including Goodell, want the tush push banned. The last known vote count was split, 16 in favor, 16 leaning no. It takes 24 votes to pass. With this new language, Chris, that's going to be hard to get 24. When there's 16 just leaning and you only had 16 for the ban, it's going to be tough to get the 24.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to get the votes for it. Maybe something changes here. I know the Eagles have been calling around to teams and trying to get them to, you know, convince them that, hey, you know, don't ban this. If only one team has been good at it, that to me sounds like a skill issue more than anything. It's different if like every team is doing this and it's an easy way to cheese a third and one, fourth and one. But that isn't how it is. Only one team is good at it. And so to me, it sounds like it's more of a skill issue than anything.
Now, yes, with the Chiefs would be probably really good at it too, with Creed Humphrey at center.
Yeah. It's not a center thing though. It's usually on the tackles. That's usually
it. But the center's got to get low and push.
Right.
And
yeah.
Else.
But if you don't get pushed elsewhere, it doesn't matter.
And they're not going to do it clearly with their quarterback. Yeah. They don't want to see Mahomes knee damage again, but they also the onside rule as well. I forgot about that. They'll be doing that as well, where you can do it anytime during the game, not just the fourth quarter when you're down.
Yeah, I
still like the element of surprise better, but whatever.
I think you should be able to onside whenever. Well, and I don't think you should have to declare it.
But the new language too is instead of being a foot back from the kicker, they can now line up where the ball is, like within a foot of where the ball is. So they're actually moving that up to make it a little bit easier, which they should do because the element of surprise is gone because they know you're doing it.
Yeah, I think you should be able to onside whenever.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that strategy of football. I don't like the kickoff the way it is now.
Me
anyway.
Neither. I hate it.
I like the way it was.
I like the way it was. I understand, hey, we didn't get a whole lot of returns. Yeah, it's fine. I liked it what it was.
It's kind of what Belichick said. Just move the ball back. Like, if you want to see more returns, just move the ball back.
Yeah, like my thing is, move the ball back and don't allow wedges, but still allow them to do onsides whenever and allow them I understand the don't get a running start deal on that, but I think that we should absolutely still have kickoffs the way they used to be.
Well, you're going to be here with Vern, and I brought up several times that hour and 49-minute game, the shortest in 20 years for the Royals. Very short game, 1 hour, 49 minutes. Was joking with you like, hey, maybe you'll see that tonight, so you're not here till midnight and beyond. You okay with 1 hour and 49-minute games? Do you think the fans are for it?
I think the fans are definitely. I think like maybe the old school diehard fans probably aren't, which I get because change is really hard to come by and whatnot. And I think look for us, like let's say they found some way to speed up NFL games. Like let's say you cut down the play clock from 40 seconds to 25 seconds. I think there would be a lot of complaints because the game would be a lot faster pace and
whatnot.
I'd
be one of them.
And so I think a lot of people would hate that, you know, or if you had a running clock and you didn't have so many times where they stopped the clock in NFL games, I think a lot of people would hate that. But I also understand from the perspective of a fan who is not this super diehard. And I obviously I'm on the more diehard side for it, but I understand it from like a casual fan's perspective.
Sure.
I don't want to be at the ballpark on a Tuesday night until, you know, it's like 10 o'clock Central Time or whatever. So it's it's a lot easier when you do get those games that are just over 2 hours or in that, you know, that 2.25, 2.5 hour range, because it makes it easier for you to be able to get home, especially when you have those earlier start times.
Well, they're on the road and you got something else to do, like take a phone call or something. You come back and it's like in the seventh inning, like, where the hell does this game go?
It is what it is.
Like, I understand that when I did the Royals pre and post and stuff was out there, you get the people that drive down from Des Moines or come down from Omaha or drive up from Wichita, and they'd spend the money on a hotel, they'd spend the money on the tickets, they'd go out to the game, and they're getting an hour and 49-minute game. Like, I understand that part of it. Because you know what? The game times have been shortened, but your prices haven't gone down. They've, matter of fact, gone up. So it's kind of a weird situation.
But you're talking about like the extreme situation. The average game time is 2.5 hours.
If you're going to the game, you know, like if you're leaving that thing, it's been 1 hour and 49 minutes. You're like, man, I'm going to sit and watch a two and a half hour baseball game and enjoy it.
You're talking about a rare case. The average game time is 2.5 hours.
I never heard people physically complain about it when they were coming from out of town or going to the game, or maybe they buy tickets once or twice a year and they spend the money to go to it and they leave. And it's an hour and 49-minute game. You're like, oof, where the hell was that game? Because, again, the prices aren't coming down. The game time's being shorter, but your prices aren't going down. They're going up.
Yeah, like I said, you're bringing up an extreme case. The average game time is 2.5 hours. That's the same game time as an NBA game.
This is an asterisk. 1 hour and 49 minutes is
that's what I'm saying. Like, the average, if you go to a college basketball game, it's 2 hours.
But I've seen 2-hour and 10-minute games with the Royals before, but typically 2.5 hours.
Yeah, as I say, I'm just curious. Like I said, the average time is 2.5 hours. And even then, a lot of people don't stay for the entire game because they have things to do, because most of these games are played during the week.
Because I know some people, like, you know, they fight traffic, find a place to park, pay, you know, the prices for parking and everything else, and all of a sudden, 1 hour and 49 minutes, the game's over, and you bought tickets for 4 people, and you bought drinks and food and all this and parking, and the game's over 2 hours. Like, how does that make you feel? J Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. More curious than anything. I saw that. I said, what are fans like this or not? I'm just curious. Like, to me, it's fine. Get baseball over. Like, I like watching it. Move on to the next game. That's kind of how it is with me. So I don't really mind, to be honest with you. But I'm just curious, if you spend the money and go out there, like, what do you think? Come up next, though, there was some hypocrisy this past weekend. I don't know if you saw it, Chris, but rivalry weekend in Major League Baseball. I saw something that makes me completely crack up. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
7 o'clock hour. Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero with you. Josh Vernier comes your way at 7:30. Getting you ready for Royals and Giants. The Royals out in the Bay Area here for 3. Bubich and Robbie Ray tonight. A good pitching matchup out there with the Royals and the Giants. By the way, the Guardians and the Twins are tied at 1. Wish both these teams would lose, but of course one of these teams is going to win. But the Guardians are playing the Twins, and what is an interesting series as far as the AL Central is concerned. Did you get caught up at all in MLB rivalry weekend, Chris? No. Did you care at all about some of the matchups?
No. I didn't really watch baseball this weekend.
I watched some baseball, PGA Championships.
I picked a little bit at Royals Cardinals. I did not. I was watching more UFL and NBA playoffs than I was baseball this weekend.
We saw a blowout in Game 7 as far as that concerned. But
I turned that one off in the third quarter.
I watched Scheffler win by 5 strokes in the PGA Championships. That was fine. But some of the baseball I did watch. You watch any of the Yankees and Mets?
I do not care.
Or you have Yankees fatigue?
I don't.
You know, people have Chiefs fatigue.
The only time I will ever watch the Yankees is if they play the Royals. I do not, like, I'm going to tell you this right now. I do not care about non-Royals baseball games unless it's in the playoffs. I'm not watching Sunday night baseball. That's a waste of my time. I don't care.
Well, here's the one funny thing about it, Chris, and the reason I asked this question. I don't know if you watch the highlight shows, Quick Pitch, or any of that.
Nope.
But anyway,
they don't even have an MLB network on YouTube.
Maybe you didn't, but they booed the hell out of Juan Soto, right? He had a choice to make, and the Yankees were high on the list. He was a Yankee, and he went to play for the Mets, right?
He made what he thought was the best decision.
But he did, and I agree with you. And he made a decision anybody else would have made. But the Yankees fans were just booing him and had the T-shirts, no to Soto. You know what's funny is? And the hypocrisy was hilarious. Here were the Yankees. Keep in mind, he got more money in a shorter-term deal, 15-year. Yankees offered 16 and less money than what the Mets were giving him. and he just liked the Mets' direction they're going, even though the Yankees have had a winning record for last 32 years. But they were booing him. He was so funny about it, Chris, because they were like literally all over Soto. And I was just laughing, going, man, do you guys realize how kind of hypocrites you are? Do you know how many times your team in the Bronx has taken a player from a team around the league, paid him more money, put them in pinstripes, and they're now a New York Yankee, and all of a sudden you're going to get your panties in a bunch because Juan Soto took more money to go play for the Mets than the Yankees, and now you want to boo him? But I found it hilarious, the hypocrisy involved in that, considering how many players from around the league they have poached to go play for the New York Yankees. They want to sit there and cry about Juan Soto being a Met. It just cracked me up.
I mean, they knew that that was a possibility when they traded for him.
But he just goes across town, and they act like, oh, this can't happen. Dude, your team does it to everybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though, is like they knew that that was a possibility, but they just assumed, oh, we're the Yankees. We're going to be able to sign whoever they want, whoever we want. It's like this is the reason why I don't like New York teams, because it like them and like also like Lakers fans. I hate Lakers fans because there's a sense of entitlement with those teams. It's like, well, we just deserve to sign whoever we want. And if someone doesn't choose to sign with us, they're a terrible person, and we hope that they don't have any success at all. And it's like that kind of mindset to me is the reason why everyone hates them. And it's the reason why every year I get joy whenever the Yankees get eliminated in the playoffs. I thoroughly enjoyed watching the Dodgers smack them around in the World Series last year. And I hope that they lose in the playoffs next year and Yankees, in a convincing fashion.
But the Yankees changed the sport, man. And they always had the highest payroll. Yes, the Mets are spending more money than them now, but the Yankees are still right up there as far as paying. And of course they bring back Aaron Judge, gave him the bank, didn't want to see him play for the Giants. They give him the bank to play in New York. But you know what, New York? You were part of the problem that blew up Major League Baseball. The Royals had the highest payroll in Major League Baseball in the late 80s. A lot of people don't realize this, but Ewing Kauffman had the highest payroll in baseball, I think, in like 1989. Then all of a sudden, the cable television explosion, Yankees on Madison Square Garden Network, Yes Network then, and all that, it blew up. But for years, and they still do it, the Yankees, oh, who do we want? We'll go grab this player, and they put him on the Yankees team, and the rest of us are supposed to be fine with it. But when a player leaves the Yankees and goes plays with another organization, and you're going to sit there and throw a pity party about it, man, leave Juan Soto alone, man. He got more money in less years to go play for the Mets, and they were going to take care of his family and all that. But to see them crying and acting like they did, it just killed me, man. It's like, welcome to baseball, Yankees. Welcome to the way we've all been for the longest time, because you have poached the players that we wanted to see with our team.
But like, that's how Lakers fans act whenever their team, whenever someone decides to leave their team, they are like that too. Even when they trade guys, they get rid of guys, and then the fans will laugh at them because they're not as good as they thought they were when they were playing for the Lakers.
It's like a 3-star player that would, or 4-star that would decommit from Nebraska, and yeah, the fans, oh, he sucked, yeah, anyway. We didn't want
to. Yeah, so I'm saying, it's like you see that all the time in college football. Like, you get a 4 or 5-star that decommits from a school or transfers from a school, and like, oh, he wasn't any good anyway. Like, it's very annoying. It's the reason why I hate those elitist type programs. It's the reason why I, as a Real Madrid fan, who are the Yankees of European soccer, I try not to be like that when players either choose not to come to Real Madrid or they choose to leave Real Madrid and go elsewhere. I'm like, hey, do your thing. Hopefully you're happy in this other location there. I work really hard not to be like that, because I understand that from the perspective of being a Royals fan and watching the Yankees my entire life be that team that takes players. I mean, you remember how much, what was it, 2012 when HUD came out and said, man, like, imagine Salvi in a Yankees uniform.
Oh, I remember.
And like, he wasn't thinking it. He wasn't trying to be malicious about it. It was just like,
but that's reality.
But like, that's the thing, though. It's like, because it was a reality, we always assume that whenever the Royals have a great player, he's just being primed to go play for the Yankees because they're the team that just buys all of their talent. So, yeah, of course there's going to be some sensitivity towards that.
And when it comes to pitching, when hitting, everybody, the pinstripes, the Yankees have always thought they're better than everybody else. That's why they had that silly no facial hair rule. Then they changed. Well, actually, you could have a mustache there for a while, but that was challenging.
Yeah, you can only have a mustache. Yeah.
Well, now they change it. They can do a beard, yeah, but it's going to be well-groomed. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, they're just the last to do anything. But to see their fans have T-shirts and get so mad about a player actually leaving their team to go get more money elsewhere, it was like,
I mean, nobody,
I was laughing. I was like, look, Yankees, look what happened to you. Go look in the mirror and realize how stuck up and arrogant you've been forever, because you've ripped players out of other teams and cities for decades upon decades. For your 27 world championships, you bought those, and then to see you start to cry about another player left you, I find it funny.
Yeah, and it's just like, if you like understand like what happened after the World Series in 15, is like a lot of those players went elsewhere. You know, Eric Hosmer ended up in San Diego. Jake Shields was up in Chicago, and we didn't boo those guys when they came back. I know they traded away Lorenzo Cain. We didn't boo him when he came back with Milwaukee. We cheered for him because he was a very important part to those World Series years, and we loved having those guys on the team. Like, that's the thing I don't like, is the sense of entitlement from the New York teams.
Oh,
that's why I hate all New York
entitlement.
Teams. I hate all New York teams because
of that. It's not used to that, Chris. It's like, you don't spurn them, right?
Yeah.
It's like that really good-looking girl, and all of a sudden she loses a dude, right? And she's never lost anybody in her life. And So I was like, I'm
not used to rejection.
You're kind of a Garrigan for me. Kind of no rejection here. But anyway, I just found it funny when they were booing Soto like they were, because they were merciless on Juan Soto this weekend. And I was like, how's it taste, man? How's it taste? Come up next, though, another interesting thing that you should buckle up for when it comes to the Chiefs in the NFL this season. Heard Alex Gold talking about this earlier. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Kind of wish you were with me at the new rules coming out and getting voted on the next couple of days. A lot to talk about regarding that, the NFL meetings tomorrow and Wednesday. Tush push, reseeding the teams, the onside kick, players in the Olympics. There's still some things that are going to be cussed and discussed this coming week in Minnesota. Royals and Giants come your way. Josh Vernier at 7:30. Loved Vern earlier today. He got it this morning on Dusty and Bob. He joins him every single week, and he casually threw it in there twice about Jonathan India. Like, you got to have your teammates back, and then just moved on. Like, casually went off on that. Vernon was pretty heated about India. I love seeing fights. I love the 15-team fighting. I loved it. You know, it was a close game with the Cardinals. I get it. But, man, you can't let teams push you around, and that slide into India, pretty bad, because now he missed the game right after that. So didn't enjoy seeing that whatsoever. But it should be a good pitching matchup tonight. 6-0, Robbie Ray. Even though Bubic, 4-2, has a better ERA. 169 to 3-0, a little over 3 for Robbie Ray. So it should be a good pitching matchup tonight with the Royals and Giants. Actually looking forward to that game. It's going to be fun. Hopefully get home in time for that. I heard Gold talking about this. He said, prepare yourself for the ref talk, the low-hanging fruit. Like, that's the way people go. Just like earlier, I played that audio from St. Louis. Oh, the Chiefs are on too many primetime games. They're shoving them down our throats in St. Louis. Wah, wah, wah. You guys lost to NFL teams. I mean, it happens. Get used to it. You're the second biggest market for season ticket holders for the Chiefs. People in that town like the Chiefs. For years, you've had people all over the state liking the Cardinals. And it started to change a little bit when the Royals got better. And since 2011, they have more postseason wins than the Cardinals. And things started to shift a little bit. And you saw more and more people like the Royals, whether you're in different parts of the lake, you're down at the Ozarks or whatever, you'll see a lot more Royals hats.
Yeah, still not quite as
no, the Cardinals still dominate.
Yeah, they still dominate the state of Missouri.
The Chiefs own the state. Yeah. Even more, they did with the Rams even when they were playing, but even more so now. Yeah. Even more so now, the Chiefs own the state. But anyway, there's going to be a lot of low-hanging fruit. And this Sam Pajanovic is on Fox Sports. MGM Bet is what he's on. But he's already preparing you for one thing that is the complete low-hanging fruit, and to already start this discussion is ridiculous.
Speaking of Kansas City, did you see how many primetime standalone games they've got this year? 8?
Yes, I did. 8.
Only 8? And they could have potentially 2 more if you consider the flex schedule.
Oh, wow.
So 9, maybe 10 primetime or standalone games. You think the refs might hold a little hand? in those Kansas City games mm-hmm. where they're playing on an island. You know the league wants everything to do with them being one of the best teams in the league. Never will you see that admitted anywhere publicly, but you know the league is at its best when Taylor Swift is in the mix. The refs tend to give the Chiefs the calls, and now they're going to be primetime or standalone at least eight times.
See, it's short-sighted. First of all, if the NFL really wanted to see teams that draw well, do well, why haven't the Cowboys been winning? Because the Cowboys, for decades, have been the biggest draw in the NFL. And you know what? They don't win crap. If they even get to the postseason, if they get to postseason, they get rolled. I mean, you're talking a long time since Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith and company and Mike Irvin won a title for the Cowboys. If that's true, why wouldn't they want them being good all the time? Yeah, the Chiefs are a cash cow. But you know what? Enjoy it. Because you know what? The Chiefs, the NFL takes advantage of the Chiefs, to be honest with you. They still get fines. Players still get the $15,000, $20,000 fines, you name it. They still hammer the Chiefs for that. They still get that crap from the NFL. But the NFL said, hey, their partners came to them and wanted a quality team in the playoffs. Guess who was the first playoff team on Peacock? It was the Chiefs. The first regular season game on Peacock was the Chargers and the Bills, but the first postseason game with the Chiefs. Netflix, first ever NFL game. Guess who it was? Kansas City Chiefs. First ever game on Amazon. Who was it? Oh, it was the Kansas City Chiefs. The YouTube game this year for Christmas, Kansas City Chiefs. So the Chiefs help the NFL with their most important commodity, which is their partners, because they all want the Kansas City Chiefs to play. So regardless of rest, remember the Chiefs last year hardly had any rest. And 2 years ago, they had less rest than anybody, but nobody wants to talk about it. They want to talk about the Chiefs getting all the calls, which is not true because NFL officiating sucks around the league. There's not an NFL city where fans are like, man, that was a great officiated game, man. That was awesome officiating last week. It was like when the replacement refs were out there, and everybody complained about them and wanted them to come back. Well, let's get the refs back and all that. And then all of a sudden they come back, boom, it's complaining about it again. But the Chiefs ain't complaining about the officiating. Watch other games in the NFL. Watch some of the ticky-tack pass interference calls that are actually called on the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what? If the NFL was all about conspiracies, why haven't they let the Cowboys win games? That's my question.
Yeah, the NFL is going to feature the best teams. That's what their priority is. It's not the Chiefs. The Chiefs just happen to be one of the best teams in the league. That's why they have so many primetime games. They're not, you know, if you notice, like the teams that they didn't put in primetime were teams that they didn't think were going to be good this year.
They went 15 games out of the top 100 things on television were Chiefs games. Guess what? People like watching them. Whether you want them to lose or win, they like watching them.
Like none of these networks want to get primetime Saints games, primetime Jets games, because those teams are going to be terrible this year. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense that you would want the best teams to be in those primetime slots. That's just a natural thing. When the Patriots were really good, you know who was having the most primetime games? It was the Patriots. So
and I like to watch the games and see them lose.
Yeah.
It's always the
and also a lot of people do, like you just brought, a lot of people hate watch the Chiefs.
Well, they do. Here's the funny thing. I love these villain shirts people are wearing, the villains. I love that stuff. But here's the thing, though. Kansas City's always playing close games, Chris. Like, that is a TV ratings dream, isn't it? All the one-score games, their games come down to the wire. Like, you may want to watch them lose. Oh, the Chiefs are going to lose this one. They're going to lose this one. They come back and win. It drives you nuts. Well, not here in Kansas City. Other places drives them nuts. But the Chiefs are ratings gold because a lot of times these games are going down to the final possession. That holds the ratings. That holds the viewers. That's the Chiefs.
Well, people are going to watch anyways because it's the Chiefs and they just want to see them lose or win or whatnot. They want to see greatness, so people are going to watch. It's the same thing with the Patriots. They were going to watch the Patriots. With the Colts were really good, people watch the Colts. That's just the natural progression. People are driven to watch the top teams in the league, regardless of who's there.
Well, regardless, Vern comes on next. Because the Royals are playing the Giants. Great pitching matchup tonight. Enjoy it. Hopefully we see some runs scored. And you know what, Chris? Just for you, I hope it's a short game.
I mean, I hope it's a short game, too.
I hope it's a short game.
I work all day. I'm tired. Yeah, no, I hope they go out there and they take care of the Giants real quick and easy. Chris Bubich tears it up.
All right. Enjoy Vern next.